Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here in studio, along with Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley.
Dave, great to be with you, and welcome to all of our listeners. I'm so glad to have you today, especially all of those who listen every single day.
Well, a little bit later in the program, we'll introduce you to our guest today, Joseph Slife. And Joseph, for 15 years, was here on staff at Crown Financial Ministries, and he is now working for Sound Mind Investing, and is also an adjunct instructor in the Department of Communication at Emmanuel College. And Joseph will be joining us for a very interesting conversation about college education.
It's a hot topic today, Dave, because so many families are struggling to make the decision where they should go to college, how are they going to afford college, how much should I save for college, but they're usually not asking the very simple question, should my child actually go to college? And Joseph's article caught my eye. He wrote an article called, Is a College Education Still Worth It? Mm-hmm. It almost sounds blasphemous, but he asked a question and he gave an incredible answer. And so I wanted our listeners to get the benefit of hearing his insights.
We'll look forward to hearing from Joseph here in just a moment. But before he comes, share with us an email that you got recently about our new God Provides film learning experience.
Well, I ask our listeners to give me some feedback. And, Dave, I've just received incredible, warm, very engaging testimonies. I don't have time to read them all. Here's one. Dear Chuck, I've become an outreach partner to help support the wonderful ministry that Crown provides. I purchased the God Provides film series. The quality is first rate. Very, very professional. We watch them as a family, and our children, four of them, ages 7 and under, all watch them together, and the kids love them. They sat quietly in awe. After each film was over, they asked if there were more and if they could watch them now. They particularly liked the first one, Widow in Oil, and they asked, where did all that oil come from? I love this. And we had the opportunity to explain that God performed a miracle and that God always provides for our needs. Mm-hmm. They smiled and had a look of amazement and joy on their faces. So Love that testimony, Dave. And I do want to encourage all of our listeners to get that resource and to begin using it in your family first and then spread out to other areas where God's given you the opportunity to minister.
And again, to find out more about God Provides, go to crown.org, and right there on the homepage is the God Provides banner, and click on that for all the information. We'll return with our guest, Joseph Slife, right after this. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today I get to introduce you to an old friend. Many of you may remember Joseph Slife. Today, Joseph is the contributing editor for Sound Mind Investing. He's also spent 15 years on the other side of this microphone as the executive producer for this broadcast and a co-writer with Larry Burkett. Today, Joseph is an adjunct professor in the Department of Communication at Emmanuel College in Georgia. And Joseph, welcome back to the program.
Well, Chuck, it's good to be with you. I don't really like being on this side of the microphone, but I'll try to do my best.
Well, I understand your dilemma. Joseph, I was taken by a recent article that you wrote for Sound Mind Investing, and the title is a college education still worth the investment? Now, Joseph, that's almost a blasphemous question in today's society, isn't it?
Well, you're right. The default expectation has increasingly become that if a young person graduates from high school, the next logical step is to go to college. And generally, when we think college, it's a four-year program, most cases, or in many cases, a residential program. But we are reaching the point where people are beginning to question that assumption. And the article that I wrote is why that assumption is being questioned.
Well, I think it's a very timely question, one that's been sort of residing in the back of my mind, but I didn't really have the courage to ask it. And since you did, I drilled down into your answer, and I thought your answer was just terrific. It's well thought out. You had great supporting data. And I wanted to share it with our audience because I think many people are rushing into that decision far too quickly. And it's your opinion that there are too many high school graduates who simply default that they've got to go to college. Why is that a bad decision, or possibly a bad decision?
Well, let me back up here just a little bit and put some parameters on this. I don't want to say that everybody who goes to college shouldn't be going to college, or that even most people shouldn't be going to college. In the article, I quote from some people who think that maybe five times too many people are going to college. And I certainly respect that view. I think what they're saying really needs to be thought about very carefully. Let's go back and cover some history. As you know, higher education has been around for hundreds of years, the great European universities and so on, and even in the early history of our country, among the first things that happened were the founding of some great colleges, Harvard and Yale and so on. And as time has gone along, the universe of colleges and universities has expanded. Many, many colleges, thousands upon thousands of colleges and universities now. But until really the 20th century, the percentage of people who went to college or were expected to go to college or had an expectation of going to college remained fairly small until after World War II. And what happened after World War II is that Congress passed something called the GI Bill. And this was an attempt to honor those who had served in the military during World War II to help them out by giving them a way to improve their lives by going to college. And the government foot the bill under the GI Bill. And so there began to be a great democratization of higher education with more and more people going to school. And then as you go into the 60s and the civil rights movement and the 70s and the women's liberation movement, this expectation of being able to go to college as a way of improving one's lot in life just began to expand and expand and expand until now we have, and I'm not saying any of that is wrong or bad, but now we have gotten to the point where it almost becomes an unquestioning assumption that this is the best thing for everybody, that it's good for your career if you go to college, therefore you need to do it. And what some economists and some social scientists and some writers on finance are now starting to do is step back and say, no, wait just a minute. Have we gone too far with this thing? Are we actually doing a disservice to a significant percentage of our population by making them feel like they have to go to college?
Sure. Or they're a second-rate citizen, or they're going to limit their options, or possibly that their future is going to be impeded by taking a different course. What's the current dropout rate for college students?
Well, the current dropout rate for college students will vary, of course, from institution to institution and from geographical area and so on. And a lot of it has to do with socioeconomic standing and that sort of thing. But on the whole, the dropout rate in American colleges and universities is about 50%. Half of the people who start out don't finish. And that's not only not a good thing, you have to remember what's going on during the time that they're there. And during the time that they're there, they're often taking on significant amounts of debt. So they end up with really what is the worst of both worlds. You end up with no college degree, but a significant amount of debt that you took on while you're in college. So you're having to pay off something that you've gotten very little benefit from.
Well, and Joseph, you're in the living laboratory yourself. You're actually a college instructor, and you're watching students process through your classroom. Is it your opinion that students today are prepared for a higher education? Do you understand more closely why this dropout rate is so high?
Yeah, I think I do, and it's rather sad, actually. The number of students who come through the classes that I teach, and I've taught a lot of freshman-level classes, so you're getting those you know, kids who are there for their first or second semester, many of them are academically unprepared. And they may say something about high school life or family situations or whatever. For whatever reason, they come without really the requisite skills to do well in college. And so many colleges are having to spend the first year doing remedial things. So if you have to do that for a year before you can actually get into your program, now you're turning, you know, 4 years of college potentially into five or even six. And that's quite common of students who don't finish in 4 years. Well, if you take 5 or 6 years to finish college, oftentimes you're taking on even more debt than you would if you were doing it in less time than that. And it's a sad thing, but I want to hasten to say this. It's not that these students don't have redeeming qualities. I'm referring now to the ones who are not necessarily academically ready or academically gifted. Some of them are wonderfully gifted in other ways, and you can pick up on that if you spend some time talking to them or observing them. So I think this question of, is this person who's not academically gifted or academically prepared, are they best served by being in a college classroom, or is there some other avenue of post-secondary education that would be better for them? And those are some of the questions I tried to raise and answer in the article for Sound Mind Investing.
Well, Joseph, I know the fact remains that in spite of the reality that it's not for everyone, there's still this universal appeal that they believe that if they go to college and get a degree, they're going to make more money. And I want to talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Well, if you'd like to hear this program again, you can do that by going online at crown.org. And while you're there, you can sign up for the Money Life podcast. It's free, and it only takes a few minutes. Again, that's all at crown.org. We'll return with our guest, Joseph Slife, right after this. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Joseph Slife, and we're talking about his excellent article, Is a College Education Still Worth the Investment? Joseph, so many kids make the answer to that an automatic answer, and I think if you changed the word college education, it would make more sense why you're questioning it. In other words, if you said, is going to the military should that be an automatic requirement for all kids? Now, some people would probably say yes, but you can fill in the blank and understand why we need to step back and ask ourselves, are we truly making a wise decision, especially in light of the escalating cost to go to college? But underlying all of it, kids still believe they're going to make significantly more money if they get a college degree, and that's still true, isn't it?
It is, but let me tell you one of the things that I found fascinating in researching this article, that even though a college graduate makes more money on average than a high school-only graduate, it takes about 14 years before the college graduate reaches a point of pay parity with the high school-only graduate. 14 years. And the reason for that is twofold. One is that the person who's in college is obviously foregoing 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 years of income during the time that they're getting their education. But the second thing is that there is a debt issue. So when these people get out of college, a lot of them have debts. And if you subtract their debt payments from what they're earning and just say, well, that's not part of your income, that's all going toward debt, actually they're not earning as much as high school-only graduates oftentimes. And so that's something to really process. You know, it's going to take you 14 years to the point where you're going to begin to exceed, on average, what a high school-only graduate is making.
Well, and then you see some people making the decision simply to pursue a field of study because they think they can pay it off faster or make more money once they're completed. And again, they may not even be gifted in that field, but they think that it justifies 4 years of studying something because they can pay it back more quickly. Joseph, I think that if I set up a matrix around your article, the first thing that you're challenging people to do is ask the question, am I gifted in the area of academics that I want to study, and would college be a good first step for that pursuit? And you personally, like I have used some of the assessment tools to help your children understand whether or not college is a good decision for them.
Well, as Christian people, followers of Jesus Christ, you know, all of us are trying to find what is God's sweet spot for us, if I can use that term. You know, what has He really gifted us for? And the Career Direct online assessment, which Crown does, has been very helpful to me and to my family in making that judgment for at least my oldest son, because we had some concerns about which way he should go. And when he took the Career Direct assessment, I sat down, went over it with him. I said, yes, I understand. In fact, I knew him pretty well, of course, before that time. But I said, this thing really pegs you. This puts on paper my own sense about who you are and the direction that you're going in, and it lined up with what he felt like he wanted to do. And so I thought that was a very good confirmation from the Lord through the Career Direct assessment that he was on the right track. And I would advise that for all parents, that by the time your kids get to be 15, 16, 17, a Career Direct assessment could be a tremendous investment and making sure that they're heading in the right direction. And that direction might be 4 years of a college program somewhere. Or it could be a two-year community college program or some kind of certification program that they could get certified in some sort of medical field or computer science or something like that, that avoids the very high cost of four-year residential education and yet serves that student in the best possible way.
Well, another thing that people are encountering, Joseph, if they want to pursue an education, they're running into the staggering cost of it, and it's rising all the time. In fact, in your excellent article, you pointed out that the cost of a college education is actually rising faster than almost anything else. It's rising faster than the rate of inflation. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, that's a fascinating question and actually a fascinating answer. One of the theories about this is that unlike other economic areas where you have to keep the cost down in order to remain competitive, in college education, one of the ways to stay competitive is actually to raise your costs, because there is really no other way for parents or students to say, hey, this is a good college. But if they look at it and it's expensive, they think, oh, it has to be good. And so colleges, in addition to all the other things that are cost drivers, and there are, you know, salaries and energy costs and all these sorts of things, but and there's a great deal of federal money that's going into these programs, and that tends to drive up cost. But there's also this elite idea that if we put the price high enough, it'll say to people, this is a good education. And it may be, or it may not be.
Well, Joseph, you mentioned a few of them, but let's talk about some of the low-cost alternatives to a traditional four-year degree. I know Larry spoke about for years and years and years to go to community college and get a year or two behind you before you graduate from the four-year school, because that degree will mean the same as a person who paid the full load for 4 years. What are some of the other low-cost alternatives?
Well, you can go to what I like to call a commuter college. It might be a four-year residential college, but there's no reason you have to live in the dorm and be on campus. Now, I will say that there are some nice social aspects to that and some good things, but if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. And if you can live at home with mom and dad and drive to college and drive home, that's a fine way to do it, whether it's a four-year school or a two-year school. There are also many certification programs, night school programs. For-profit colleges are becoming increasingly popular, things such as the University of Phoenix. And because they're for-profit, they have an incentive to try to hold costs down. Another thing that's happening is that even the traditional colleges, realizing that the cost is getting beyond the ability of many average families, are trying to come up with value options.
Well, Joseph, I want to talk to you about those value options and a few other low-cost alternatives. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Joseph Slife, and we're talking about his excellent article, Is a College Education Still Worth the Investment? And Joseph, you said for some it definitely is, for others it needs to be reconsidered. And you've been mentioning some low-cost alternatives to the traditional residential program where you go and live on campus for 4 years. And one of them you mentioned before the break is a for-profit college model. Now, what are the advantages of that, and what are the value options that you were referencing?
Well, there are an increasing number of for-profit colleges out there. I think the biggest one is University of Phoenix, which started in Phoenix, Arizona, and they have campuses all over the country. And a lot of their courses are night school, although they do have some day school programs. But because they're for-profit, they have an incentive to stay cost competitive. In other words, they don't need to drive up the cost to try to attract students. They're trying to attract students through quality education and lower cost, and University of Phoenix is only one among several. So for-profit colleges, and I think we're going to be seeing more and more of these as we go forward, that's an option to check into. Also, some of the traditional colleges, the non-for-profit colleges, are developing some value options. There are colleges such as David Lipscomb College in Tennessee. They're developing three-year programs, or other colleges that are doing that, where you go for 3 years instead of 4 years by doing some stuff during the summer in a non-residential setting. There are some residential colleges that are setting aside separate programs where you can go and have your classes in an office building downtown somewhere at night, and so you can avoid the cost of having to pay for the gym and the cafeteria and all that sort of stuff. So they're sensitive to the fact that there's price resistance that's developing among the American people, and they're trying to find a way to stay competitive as colleges in this new environment that's unfolding.
So, Joseph, for those who are trying to make a decision, college or no college, give them the steps that you'd recommend.
Well, I would say the first thing is to know thyself. The student really needs to have an understanding of who am I and what do I think God wants me to do. And I would suggest, as I did earlier, the Career Direct assessment at careerdirectonline.org. I think that's a tremendous tool. And also prayer. I would have, you know, parents need to be praying for their children and with their children, asking, Lord, would you show us the direction? Because there's so many options out there, increasingly with online education and other sorts of things. What is the best thing for my child? That's a great prayer for a parent, and I believe it's the sort of prayer that God delights to honor.
Well, Joseph, thanks for being my guest today and for being willing to get on this side of the microphone. It's just been wonderful having you.
Thank you very much, Chuck.
Well, as Chuck mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you can find Joseph's article at crown.org. Just scroll down on the homepage and click on the related content button, and you'll find Joseph's article there. Now, also on the homepage at crown.org, you'll find the link to the God Provides film learning experience, and I'd encourage you to take a few moments to watch the trailer and get all the details on ordering this life-changing resource for yourself or as a gift. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.